Let us attend. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus says to St. Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." What did St. Thomas see that made him believe? Think about it. What did he see? He saw the risen Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus. He saw him in the emblems of his suffering and death. The holes in his hands, his side, his feet. He saw, therefore, the word that the Lord had been speaking to his disciples while he was yet with them. That it was necessary that what was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms be fulfilled. That's what he saw. The fulfillment of the scriptures. Thomas falls to his knees in worship and he cries out, "My Lord and my God." I think this is what St. Luke is describing in his gospel when the Lord Jesus appears to the disciples, teaches them again that it was necessary that he suffer and rise from the dead on the third day in order to fulfill all the scriptures. And then it says he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures, and then he goes on to teach them. Thus it was necessary that the Christ should suffer and rise on the third day. This is St. Thomas' mind being opened so that now he understands from seeing the risen Lord Jesus in the emblems of his suffering and death. It's the same thing going on when St. John the Apostle enters the tomb. He enters the tomb and it says that he saw. Well, what did he see? He saw the linen cloths folded neatly and laying to the side. We were reading, my wife and I were reading in St. John Chrysostom this last week, who points out that myrrh acts like glue. And so when the myrrh is placed on the body or on the linen cloth, whatever it is, it glues the cloth to the body. So for the linen cloths to be folded neatly and laying aside, without any apparent, disturbance, that was not possible. So he saw the linen cloths, it says, he saw and he believed. And then it goes on to say, because up until that moment, the disciples still did not understand that it was necessary for him to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. So that now St. Thomas sees the risen Lord Jesus in the emblems of his suffering and death. Now he understands that the scriptures, what they were all about, was that it was necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And then the Lord says to St. Thomas, he says, blessed are those who do not see and believe. I feel that this word is one with what the risen Lord says to his disciples, according to St. Luke, going back to the same passage that I was just quoting from. The Lord Jesus, according to St. Luke, he says to the disciples, after he has opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and after he has told them, thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, he then goes on to say, and that repentance unto forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations. And then he says, you are my witnesses. You are my witnesses, beginning from Jerusalem. In other words, the word of the apostles' preaching proclaims what they saw with their own eyes. St. Thomas is now, with the other disciples, an eyewitness of the Lord's Pascha. And he can say, based on what he saw with his own eyes, that what was written in the scriptures, namely that the Christ must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, has been fulfilled. So what does it mean? Blessed are those who do not see and believe. It means that those are blessed who hear the word of the apostles' preaching and believe. In the same way that they believe that Jesus is the Christ, who have heard the word of the prophets. For the word of the prophets is all about Christ, the word of God who must necessarily suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. The word of the apostles, then, is the same as the word of the prophets, with this new addition, that what was written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms has been fulfilled. Listen, oftentimes, it says in the Old Testament, it says, the word of the Lord happened, or came to be, to the prophet as a vision. That's important. It's important to understand. Your English translations will say that the word of the Lord came to such and such a prophet, but that's not what it says in the original language. To come is a completely different word than what it actually says in the original language. It says in the original language, it says in the Greek, the word of the Lord happened to the prophet. It came to be to the prophet. It happens to be the same verb that is used for the creation, when God says that there be and there was, there came to be. It happens to be the same verb that is used to describe the Lord Jesus in his incarnation, and the word came to be flesh. The word became flesh. It's the same word and dwelt among us. So understand that the word of the Lord often happened to the prophets in a vision. They saw a vision. And that's what they would write down. So what is written in the prophets are words describing what the prophets saw in a vision. You read the words of the prophets, and if you read them in the spirit of the church, they will form in our mind a picture of what the prophet saw in his vision. And according to the Lord, the substance of what the prophets saw in their vision and then wrote down was that it was necessary that the Christ should suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. So also, the word of the Lord, as I just said, happened, or rather came to be to the apostles, not in a vision, but in the flesh. And he dwelt among them, so that they could bear witness, and they could say that what we saw with our eyes, what we saw, what we heard with our ears, and what we handled with our hands, the word of life, the word of life. As the Lord says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. This is what we proclaim to you. What we saw, not in a vision, but what we saw in the flesh. This we saw with our bodily eyes. This is what we proclaim to you. And you judge for yourself. Either we're Looney Tunes or we're not. What is written in the apostles then are words describing what they saw, what they heard, what they touched with their hands. Not an idol that makes one blind, deaf, and unfeeling. Remember what the prophets say? Those who worship the idols are just like them. The idols have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have hands, but they can't feel anything. So also are those who worship them. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have hands, but they can't feel. But the apostles saw, heard, and felt the Lord Jesus Christ. And their eyes were open. Their ears were open. Their hands suddenly could feel truly. Their hands could do good things. Their hands, as we read in the epistle this morning, or in the Acts of the Apostles, their hands could touch and heal people. Even the shadow falling on people could touch the people and heal them. What the apostles are describing then, what they heard, what they touched with their hands, is the word of life, was the very icon of the Father, who opens the eyes, who opens the ears, who makes withered hands and crippled feet whole. The words of the apostles then form in our mind a picture, or rather, they form an icon that makes our heart burn within us, like it burned in the apostles walking on the road to Emmaus, when the Lord was giving to them the word from the prophets and explaining how those words of the prophets were all about how it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Because, dear faithful, the words of the church, the words of the church's teaching, which are the words of the apostles, words that they received from Jesus, who is the Word of God, and he gave the words to the apostles from his Father. These words of the church's teaching, these words of the apostles, they carry the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's why they burn within us. They carry the fire of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The holy fire that cleanses and heals and destroys death and bestows life upon those in the tombs. The words of the apostles, therefore, clearly are not of this world. You try to understand them according to the logic of this world, you'll miss their point altogether. And the academic institutions are filled, you know, with PhDs and all kinds of consonants after their name that can't be pronounced, you know, talking about the apostles' word and trying to understand it according to their logic. And they miss it completely. The words of the apostles are not of the wisdom of human opinion. They carry the word of God. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the wisdom of God, who is the crucified and risen God-man, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And the fire of his Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, penetrates through the words of the holy apostles, the words of the church. He penetrates all the way to the division of our soul and spirit, all the way to the discerns all the way into the very tomb of our heart to discern even our thoughts, and more than that, to create in us a clean heart and to put in us a new and right spirit. This is what the words of the apostles accomplish, because they're not human words. They're words given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they carry the vision of what they saw with their eyes in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead in the emblems of his suffering and death. The words of the apostles' preaching is of the word of God. It is not of the word of the academics and the philosophers. And so these words cannot be understood by reading. you know, the academics and the philosophers. They can only be understood. They can only be known by entering into them through prayer and fasting and obedience to the commandments of Christ. Only then do you enter into the tomb, you know, the empty tomb of those words, to discern the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And so these words of the holy apostles, if one hears them and if one receives them and believes them, which means if one does what these words tell us to do, these words of the holy apostle, or rather the fire of the Holy Spirit that is carried in these words, will cleanse us all the way down to our conscience. They will put to death everything that is earthly in us by the fire of the Holy Spirit who was born in them. All of which is to say exactly what we sing at the first ode of Paschal Matins. Let us purify our senses. Let us purify our senses by doing what we hear in the words of the apostles' preaching. To do what we hear in these words is what it means to believe in them without seeing. But we do see something in the words of the apostles that we hear. We do see something. We see in their words an icon. We see in their words an orthodox icon. In other words, an icon that is drawn for us by the word of the Lord, and not by the word of human religious imagination or opinion. This is false teaching or heresy. That's why we venerate icons so carefully. I mean, that's why we guard the icon. That's why the canons governing the making of an icon are so strict. Not just anybody can write an icon or draw an icon. And you don't draw an icon any old way you want to. You have to observe a certain lifestyle of prayer and fasting to become an iconographer. You have to follow in obedience someone in the church who was a qualified iconographer, which means somebody who is recognized by the church as one who does, as a true iconographer, one who is in prayer and fasting. So this, the words of the holy apostles, they draw for us in our mind an icon of Christ. It draws in our mind what the apostles saw with their eyes, what they heard with their ears, what they handled with their hands. The icon that is drawn in our mind when we hear the words of the holy apostles is not an icon, it's not something that they saw in a vision. It's not the imagination of the holy apostles, but rather it's what they saw in the flesh. In the flesh, in the body of Christ. And what did they see in the flesh? What did they see? They saw God the Word emptying himself, or rather denying himself, and taking up his cross. That's what they saw. Christ, the Word of God incarnate, they saw him being obedient to the Father, even to the point of losing his life on the cross for our sake. In other words, in his great love for us, even while we were yet sinners. So to hear these words of the apostles, to believe in them, to receive them, is to do what we see when we hear them. And what does that mean? It's to deny ourselves, take up our cross, lose our life for the sake of Christ, in obedience to Christ, which means to give our life not to the idols of the world, but to the icon of the Father, which is Christ. And to give our heart and our soul in love for this God in the flesh, this risen God in the emblems of his suffering and death, who first loved us. Doing these words is how we go about purifying our senses, because when we do them, the Holy Spirit, who is carried in these words of the apostles, of the holy apostles, burns away all our dross. In other words, no, we cannot fix ourselves. We cannot do any of this. We cannot cleanse away our sins. So how do we do it? Receive the words of the apostles, eyewitness teaching, and do what is in them. Just do them. And the Holy Spirit that is in them will take care of the rest. We just need to be obedient, and we just need to do what we hear in those words. For it is the Holy Spirit who will cleanse us from all our, who will burn away all of our dross. It is the Holy Spirit in those words who will cleanse us of all our sins. It is the Holy Spirit in those words, when we're obedient to them, who will put to death all that is earthly in us and will raise us up into the joy of Christ's holy resurrection. A mystery that we can experience even now, that we experience. It's not an imagination. It's not an opinion that we can argue about. You want to argue about it? Go somewhere else. I have no time for you. It's an experience. We come to know it from our own experience. But this hymn from the Paschal Matins continues, and I'm sure that some of you are sitting there wiggling up, Father Paul, that's not. It doesn't end there. It goes on. Yes, it does go on. What does it say? Let us purify our senses that we may see Christ in the inapproachable light of his holy resurrection. I wonder if this vision of Christ is the blessing that is given to those who believe in him without seeing him. In other words, those who are obedient to what they hear in the words of his eyewitnesses, his holy apostles. So we see the crucified and risen Christ first with our ears. And when we take up our cross and begin to do what we hear in the words of the holy apostles preaching, then we begin to see Christ in our heart that is being purified. For it is the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead that those words of the apostles carry. It is he who purifies our senses, who opens our minds so that we can understand the scriptures, who grants us to see the great mystery of God, this kingdom of heaven that is within you, this kingdom which, says Christ, does not come with signs that can be seen with the eyes. Why can't it be seen with the eyes? Because this kingdom is not of this world, it is of the Spirit. Its signs cannot be seen with worldly eyes because they are spiritual. Joy, gladness of the soul, peace that surpasses all understanding. You can't see those things. But you can see someone who is filled with them. They are the Christ. These signs of the kingdom of heaven are of the Christ who is in you, in the bridal chamber of your heart that he has created anew, filling the obedience of faith with the knowledge of faith. But we don't just hear these words of the apostles, brothers and sisters. We eat and we drink them in the mystery of the chalice. The risen Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles saw with their eyes and heard with their ears and touched with their hands, is given to us as our food and drink in Holy Eucharist. That word that the apostles saw and which they proclaimed to us, that word, Jesus Christ, in the emblems of his suffering and death, in his holy resurrection, that word becomes a part of us. It's woven into the fabric of our body and soul. It's sown like a divine seed in the ground of our bodies and souls, making us, if we would, gardeners of immortal plants, the fruits of the Spirit. Through the obedience of faith, hear the word of the apostles preaching, the word of the church, the word of God. And let's walk in the light as he is in the light. Let's figure out ways to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to lose our life, not just to lose our life, but to lose our life for the sake of Christ. In other words, to lose our life for the love of Him who first loved us. And the word of the apostles tells us that if we do, we will become like Him, because we will see Him as He really is. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Christ is risen.
Indeed, He is risen.